What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Another episode of What the Fuck, and Jillian, I believe you're all hopped up on Mountain Dew, correct?
I am. I'm all hopped up on Mountain Dew. I'm gonna come at you like Spider Monkey.
All right, well, let's just get right into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
When you go out with a large group of people, you go to a restaurant, even something like Applebee's, you know going in that if you have a party of more than eight, there's an automatic gratuity added, correct?
Yeah.
Do you then still not tip, or do you consider that gratuity part of your tip?
Well, the gratuity does count as part of your tip. It depends what the gratuity is. If it's 15% gratuity, I tip extra because I usually tip about 20%. And it also depends how much money I have on me at the time. So it's kind of like if it's like 18 or 19% and I'm running low, sometimes I'll leave it. But if it's like 15% or whatever, I'll throw a couple more in there. Just depends on the situation.
Jillian, you've heard about the Applebee's waitress that was fired for a church pastor being a bitch, right?
I heard about it when you sent it to me.
Basically, what happened is an Applebee's waitress... she found on her receipt, this was written on here, with the 18% gratuity for a party of over eight, and I'm quoting, right written on the receipt, "I give God 10%, why do you get 18? And then in the actual tip area, there is a zero, and no tip, because the bill came to $34.93, total $34.93.
Now, yeah, she crossed out where it said, because it says tip 18%, and then it's got, you know, the 18% on the line, additional tip. So she's literally scribbled out the calculated 18%, additional tip zero, and then wrote the total without a tip.
This is from a pastor of a church named Alois Bell. This would not be that big of a controversy. It would just be, okay, someone being a dick. You get lots of dicks that don't like to tip well and do this kind of thing. I've seen it more than once in the last couple of years. Then when the waitress... posted this to Facebook and to the internet, Applebee's fired her because this Pastor Bell went and called Applebee's and complained about her treatment by this waitress and got her fired.
Here's the thing. Before we go in on the firing, I want to focus on the tip issue alone, and then we'll go into the firing because there's really two issues here in the story. First of all, right there on the "I give God 10%," it's like, so what, off of what? Like, I didn't know God took tips, like donations. are different, but here's the thing. It's like, you are so mad at this restaurant. The girl didn't maliciously go, "I'm gonna just do the tip myself and put what I deserve." That's a regular restaurant thing. So not only are you opposed to this restaurant's policies, but you literally scribbled it out, put zero, and didn't tip her anything. So in that aspect, it's like, you know, are you going like Reservoir Dogs and not believing in tipping and shit? Like, that's just wrong. And here's the thing. She has come out and was like, "I don't know what was wrong with me, blah, blah, blah." Well, yeah, of course you did, because it started circulating the internet and you got a bunch of shit. So it's kind of like always that, "We're sorry. I'm so apologetic," which I don't
think you're only apologetic after you get caught.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even, I mean, just the saying, "I give God 10%. Why do you get 18? It's like, that's not just, I don't know. There's something wrong with that on the saying alone and the mentality.
Well, and then there's the fact that, okay, Applebee's fired her. Now, Applebee's is not running back to her going, "Oh, you know, we're sorry we got caught." Applebee's is sticking by their guns, so you got to respect that a little bit, even though it still pisses me off. Maybe Pastor Bell should call Applebee's and say, "You know what?
Take her back, yeah.
Yeah, this was all blown out of proportion. Take her back. There's no reason you should have fired her." Now, Applebee's seems to be using this sort of, "Well, you violated customer confidentiality."
That's true, though. I was going to say that. I knew you were going to have a problem with this. However, if she would have blacked out the name, that would be one thing. Like, I mean, there are rules on this. You can't photograph something like a receipt with somebody's signature and put it on there, because you're putting somebody's signature on there. I mean, that's how you also get, you know, it's like, this lady's signature is out on the internet now. And there's enough with identity thefts, you know, things like that going around. You know what I mean? Like, you've got this lady's pastor first and last name. You should have known better to the waitress. It's like, you do not put anybody's personal information out on the internet, and a signature it counts as personal information. So, I mean, I would be mad. I'd be like, "Oh my God, my signature is out there. Like, don't fucking do that." I guess it's a little different when we do autographs for cons and stuff. But I mean, you know what I mean? Like, something on a receipt. That's why you see in like Facebook conversations that are posted on like the kind of meme things or cheeseburger or the idiot things with like Twitter, they black out, you know, at least the last name, sometimes the entire name. And there's reasons for that. So honestly, yeah, she made a mistake, but I'm not going to look at the company and be like, you know, shame on you, because this waitress should have known better.
But I also do think shame on Applebee's. You know, you knew. I was not going to fall on the side of them going, good, fire her. No, no. And I do feel a little bit bad that Fox News is also on the way to decide that I'm agreeing with Fox News.
I know. I was like, oh my God, the world is ending. You know, I've had a lot of jobs in my day, and you know, it's anything with confidentiality, customer confidentiality. So it's not like Applebee's saw this and was like, oh, you can't do that. It's this happened and the person complained that their, you know, signature and this got out on the internet. So by that aspect, it's like, you got a complaint. You do have to handle it. You can't be to your customer, oh, it's not a big deal. You know what I mean? So if the pastor called and was like, hey, can you take her back? That would be a different issue. But since there was a complaint, I'll tell you a funny story. There was a company that I will not say what, and my brother's friend worked for it. And they always got, it's one of those retail-ish places where you always get stupid people with stupid questions. That's all I'm going to say. His friend just got like really sick of it. And he was like, okay, I'll tell you what, go to the counter and tell them you have a code ID10T. And he wrote it down on a piece of paper. And so they went to the front and did that. And it took them a second. Well, do you know what ID10T is?
Yes, I've seen the meme on it.
Oh, okay. Well, this was years and years ago. But yeah, for those of you who don't know, it's idiot. And the customer figured it out. The boss of this place was like, dude, I got to hand it to you. That was really funny, but we got to let you go. So it's kind of like you do something comical sometimes or stupid. I mean, it has consequences. You know, if she wanted to post this, there's no reason she needed to have the name to call this lady out.
Perhaps, but the way I look at it, Applebee's is the villain here, and so is the pastor. This waitress basically got fucked for no reason, as far as I'm concerned.
I wouldn't say Applebee's is a villain. I mean, they were following protocol. You get a customer complaint like that for breaking confidentiality, and I'll bet you anything, there's probably something along those lines. I mean, they don't take those receipts home with them. I mean, you took a picture of something in a place that didn't belong to you, and you know, you posted it. A lot of stores and restaurants and things, they even say, it was like, okay, you can't take pictures in here, what have you. So, I mean, this waitress took a picture of a receipt with somebody's signature on it and posted it on the internet. Let me say, I'm not saying that like, oh, good, bitch got fired. I'm just saying if I did something like that and I got fired, I'd be more pissed at myself for not like blacking out the name or whatever. So, I mean, there are consequences for what you do. I don't think Applebee's is evil for doing that. It's an unfortunate consequence, but waitress learned to black out fucking names next time or something, or just don't do it. You know, a lot of people do stupid things on the internet where they're like, oh, I'm going to post this, I'm going to do this. And it does come to bite them back in the ass. And as a company, it's kind of like, I would like to know that my signature and information isn't going to be had a picture taken of and put up, you know?
Let's move on to our next, technically two things, but they kind of go together. So we're back to the only way I can put it, Jillian, is gay panic in this country.
Right. We do war on blank. It's just...
Well, and both of these come from Tennessee. So Tennessee last year had a bill called Don't Say Gay come up in their legislature that was shot down. Yeah, we actually did talk about it, and it was shot down. Well, it's back. Bill SB 234. It now will bar Tennessee teachers, if it passes, of course. It will bar Tennessee teachers from discussing any facet of, quote, non-heterosexual sexuality with children in grades K through 12. It will also bar you from talking about gay personages. It would even require teachers to tell the parents of children that are perhaps using, quote, gay themes. So basically, if a student maybe has got some homosexual tendencies, Jillian, it will be the teacher's job to tell the parents, hey, I think your son or daughter might be gay.
To reiterate from last week, so basically anyone in the drama club, the teacher's going to have to be like, hey, just so you know, your son joined drama, and I just want to let you know that, just in case.
You might want to watch what kind of porn he looks at.
Here's the thing. On the not discussing any non-heterosexual sexuality with children in grades K through 8, I don't really see what the problem is there, just because you shouldn't really be discussing, teachers should not be discussing sex stuff in school. And if you go through sex ed, I mean, sex education, I don't know if it's probably changed since my day, but it's basically safety, telling you about your body. I know schools do it differently, where sometimes the girls will take it separately than the boys, but especially in the younger grades, they're not really talking about relationships. And as for being like, oh, well, don't bring up Ellen or anything like that, it's like, why would you bring that up? It's school. This isn't, you know, so I don't see, I get that the restrictions are not really needed and they're there, but I don't see the big deal on them.
And see, like, when I was in K through 8, I think we had sex ed in 6th grade, maybe 7th. They did talk about homosexuality. I mean, they did say, and there are women that like women and men that like men, and they explained what those things were, so we knew. And this was back in the 80s.
Well,
so I can
only
imagine it got more graphic and more, and I'm not making a pun, more loose with the terminology as we got, hopefully, more progressive in this country.
I went to private school, so bing there. But here's the issue, and it's gotten so much worse throughout the years, is parents don't like touchy subjects. And so schools are depended upon to discuss sex ed things maybe further than necessary. And so they want to leave that to the parents. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily up to the schools to be like, hey, guys like guys and girls like girls sometimes. And it's like, you know, kids aren't stupid. They know that already. So if you're not teaching that in sex ed, to really, it's kind of, and I mean, I am completely equal rights, but I wouldn't be outside picketing a school for those two reasons. Now, the third is where I have a problem. Because I mean, honestly, I'm not saying that the first two should be there. I'm just saying I really don't see the big deal. Like, if you're going to take on a cause or what have you, the first two are kind of just really small and unnecessary. It's like, leave that to the parents. Like, really, that's not really, it's a school. They don't need to be talking about Ellen or, you know, gay celebrities or anything. The third one, though, I mean, it even says counselors. And that's my first big problem, is because counselors, even for schools, technically are like therapist mentality, unless you're going to hurt yourself or somebody else. And here's my biggest problem. How it's worded is, calls out students who might be, and I quote, at risk. It's like, at risk of homosexuality.
Yeah, what does that mean?
They say that several times in this article. I was like, really? Be like, your son may be at risk for dun 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 gay. Like, it's no. That is the dumbest wording ever. With counselors, I mean, that's a big thing, because if any kid is keeping being gay from their parents or anybody, the first person they're going to reach out to is a counselor type figure. So if you're requiring that counselors of schools have to tell parents if they find out their kid's gay, it's like, you know, for all you know, their dad fucking beats them every day and they're scared to death. And it's like, you're going to get these kids killed if you don't know the situation.
It's almost requiring a betrayal of the counselor's trust.
I mean, they're, and again, this is just tackling the counselor part. If you go into other teachers, I mean, how would that come up? Like, why is it their responsibility to fucking, I mean, first of all, we've talked about teachers on this show, and they do so much already. And unfortunately, I mean, you have phenomenal teachers, and then you have subpar teachers, and then, you know, I mean, but you have still as much shit as the school systems get. You have extremely devoted teachers. Some students will even confide in, you know, homeroom teachers or just teachers that they have a connection with and get along. I mean, you know, when you were a kid, you were like, oh, I love, you know, Mr. So-and-so. They're awesome. And so kids will be comfortable to talk to an authority figure that they trust when they have nowhere else to go. You're going to kill any trust these teachers have. These kids are going to be scared to death that they're showing their best friend too much attention. It's like, oh man, like they're going to think I'm gay and they're going to tell my parents.
They're at
you
rest.
Know, then you're going to, right. And then you're going to have the issue of, I mean, because, you know, like, as many students as all of these schools have, you know, if something gets misinterpreted and a teacher says, well, you know, he was hugging his friend a lot and I think maybe he has some homosexual tendencies, they're always, you know, off together. And, you know, it's kind of like you can do that and you don't know people's home situations. So if you've got an abusive parent that is an extreme homophobe and you say, hey, your son or daughter might be gay, and even if they're not, the parent's not going to fucking believe the kid.
And this
know,
is
no,
down
mom,
south.
No, Dad,
so.
I'm not gay. It's like they're going to get the ever loving shit beat out of them because of a misconception. And it's not teachers' jobs to monitor your children's behavior and sexual tendencies and play tattletale. It's their job to teach your fucking kids. Now, if a kid goes to a counselor and says, I'm from a religious family, I think I'm gay, I need to kill myself because gay is evil, that's when you make the fucking call to somebody because that kid is in danger.
I agree. And you got to remember, this is down south, too. This is Tennessee. So they're already pretty homophobic. I mean, this bill coming up at all kind of signals that all you're doing is you're forcing any kind of student that might already have, that might legitimately have gay tendencies, all you're doing is pushing this even farther underground. And you're just going to repress these kids and come up with far more mental issues and probably, as you alluded to, more suicides. And well, that's just sickening.
You know, and I mean, even if a kid talks to a counselor about, you know, maybe being gay, or if the teachers say, okay, well, that kid, you know, he's gay. I saw these two making out. And you tell the parents, it's like, you know, we cover these stories and we haven't really strayed off of like major political articles, but we've covered some really scary shit with parents doing stuff to their kids for the dumbest reasons. So much that can go wrong here. And to use the schools as a tattletale system, I mean, this isn't, hey, I think your kid's into drugs. You know, this is sexual orientation. And again, like we mentioned last week, you're going to run into like the whole red lists and like branding and everything, and you're going to have these people that are just walking on eggshells being like, are they going to think I'm gay? Like, I mean, I'm not, but I'm afraid they're going to think I am. I talk with my hands a lot and I'm a guy. Or, you know, I'm metrosexual and I use gel in my hair, and, you know, my friends, or not friends, but my schoolmates, you know, they call me fag, and the teachers are going to say that, you know, it's just, there's so much kids have to worry about already with their peers, and you're going to put teachers into the mix. And
yeah,
that's just wrong. And it's opinionated. You know, who's to say, unless the child comes out and says, yep, I like guys, or yep, I like chicks, how do you know? You know, and I mean, I'm sure all of you have had those conversations where a friend meets a guy or meets a girl, and it usually happens with girls and guys where, you know, you'll have friends be like, dude, that dude's gay. We're like, what? He's not gay. Yeah, he's gay. Look at him. And it's like, the guy's not gay, but you know, some people give up whatever vibe or whatever they say. And so you have that in adult life as well. So who are these other human beings to judge and suspect? Like, are they keeping little notebooks and be like, I saw this many times? Like, I mean, what is the criteria to go down a checklist for these teachers to turn somebody in? Like, this is just this.
Well, moving along and sticking into Tennessee, we have another gay panic, this time with dogs.
Okay, no. I'm going to stop you right there. Not a gay panic. This revolves around one pet owner. I'm not going to let you turn this one into a crusade. This is a sick story from a stupid person.
Stupid person.
Right, but you're saying panic. This does not go along with that. This is about a pet and its owner, or former, for that matter. But go ahead.
Well, what happened, this is in Tennessee, an unnamed owner, found his male dog hunched over another male dog humping, which anyone that owns dogs knows that is dominance behavior. That is not homosexuality.
I had two male cats that did that when I was with my parents.
It's a dominance behavior. So this guy just believed that his dog was gay. So he lives in Jackson, Tennessee. He went and dropped off his dog to a high kill animal control facility. This is a facility.
Basically an overcrowded shelter.
Yeah, it's one that kills more animals than it adopts out. All because this man refused to own a, quote, gay dog. Okay, first of all, the dog's not gay. The dog was trying to show dominance. But then the fact that somebody would give up a dog because, oh, I don't want to own a gay dog. That's sickening.
Well, I do want to say something first. I mean, I don't want this to be misinterpreted that we're not bitching at the shelter because there are a lot of shelters and they can only hold so many animals. And I mean, it is common knowledge that they have to kill them off if they're there for so long. I mean, there's that happens a lot. So this isn't about the animal being put down. It's just the animal is going to be put down because of where he was taken. And it's just overcrowded. There's no adoption. So, you know, this guy basically most likely, unless somebody reads the story and is like, I'll adopt that dog.
They did, because this story went viral. Numerous people wanted to adopt this dog. Elton, as he's now called, did get saved.
Ha, I get it.
I don't know if that was intentional or not, but it probably was.
You know it was.
But yes, Elton did get saved. I'm a little offended at a guy who would pretty much knowingly know his dog was going to be killed. Because I ain't owning no gay dog. And first of all, if you own dogs, like I said, you know dominance behavior.
Not everybody. Have you seen some of the idiots that own pets that know nothing about pets?
Okay, me as a pet owner, I see this all the time. My dogs are not gay. They're trying to assert dominance over another dog. So what it comes down to is, Tennessee, get over it. Homosexuality exists. Okay? You're not going to be able to ban it from schools. You can't kill dogs that show absolutely natural dominance behavior. Tennessee, get over it. Stop being gay.
He didn't kill his dog, though. He just sent it to a shelter with, like, a high...
Where he knew it was probably going to be killed.
I'm just saying, so there's no misconception when you're saying you can't kill dogs that are gay. It's like, that's not what happened here.
He knew there was a good chance it was going to be killed. But then that way his hands would have been clean. I didn't kill him. I just put him in a situation where he would probably be killed. It's just splitting hairs to have one man not feel so bad about himself.
I know. I'm just saying, though, we don't know for certain that was the intent because we don't know how many shelters or what's around there. So
let's wrap this up. We'll go to Hart, and then Jillian and I are going to come back, and we're going to talk about some obscene shit, right?
Doubly so.
Get yourself ready for a mean double bill. If coffee don't get you, JD will. Coffee'll cream ya, JD'll scream ya. So take a taste of double trouble. See Coffee and JD's revenge. Doing it together to do it to you. Pam Grier, Lynn Terman, and Lou Gossett Jr. in Coffee and JD's revenge. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
Well, right off the bat, guys, welcome to another Heart Attack with Hart D. Fisher and Josh Hadley. I wanted to apologize to all of our audience members out there. It's a technical difficulties issue. Jackalope Radio has switched to a new company that's housing our servers in an attempt to try to feed the demand. I don't know what you folks at home understand about Jackalope Radio, but this is a real radio station. It is the modern day radio. We eat up bandwidth like a motherfucker. We have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of fucking listeners. Not 500 bullshit Ustream watchers. We got a lot of people listening, folks. And we're blowing up the server over there. So I apologize that it's been a real lag time. And I'm frustrated, folks. I gotta admit, I'm really goddamn frustrated with the fact that it seems like our podcast seems to take forever to get posted. And that is the way that most people seem to listen to what we're doing. You can catch the broadcast live, live by tape. But even then, we're tapping out. Everybody that can listen to live is listening live. We are already peaked all year long. And poor Todd over there, the head honcho at Jackalo, he's got a new movie in production. And frankly, this company that we're working with on the server issue, well, they got to get their shit together. This isn't even in Todd's hands. So, Todd, God, the frustration's killing me, Todd. It's killing me.
Well, yeah, because basically what happened was Todd went to this new service. They said, yes, we can handle the bandwidth. He told them, we get like 1 million downloads a month. Can you handle that? Absolutely. Absolutely. They assured him, you know, they were sucking his dick the whole way to get his business. In 5 days, we exceeded their absolute maximum bandwidth.
Let me tell you, Dildo, something that are running this company. I'm not going to out you yet, but I'm not the only egg in the Jackalope radio basket. And I happen to have a TV network bigger than Hulu. Our audience that's available to us is bigger than Hulu. It's bigger than Netflix. That's right. And American Horrors is growing more and more every fucking day. This is 2013, folks. I'm Hart D. Fisher, and I'm coming out to own fucking horror. If you get in my way, we're going to do a little fucking dance. A little dance. And we'll go round and round, and we'll see who outlasts the other. Let me tell you something, folks. I always end up standing. No matter how many times you stab me in the face, you leave me for dead, you think I'm gone, I'm Michael fucking Myers. I get up every fucking time. Like last summer, I don't know, Josh, weren't we hacked off the air for the month of July?
Well, that was the second time we were hacked off the air. It happened, I can't remember what month it was, but that it happened 1 month prior, too.
That's correct, folks. They had a legion of hackers trying to take us off the air, and they sucked a dick. Still kicking ass, and our audience is growing week by week. It's kind of amazing me, Josh. I got to admit, I'm really blown away at the home I found here at Jackalope Radio and the reception I've gotten from the listeners. Folks, you guys have been really cool to me, man. I got to admit, I'm having a great time at Jackalope Radio. I really enjoy doing this show every week with Josh. And I just wanted to thank Todd for that opportunity. Todd, I may bitch and moan or complain a lot about getting shit done faster, but I'm really happy for this opportunity you provided me. And I want you to stick with this because I think you're really doing something important here, Todd.
I think Jackalope can blow up fucking huge if we can just get these relatively minor technical issues out of the way.
We've got a hell of an audience, you know. I've been working in television entertainment, and I've been working with TV networks, and I've spent a lot of time behind the scenes going over analytics and data and who's watching what. I decided to make American Horrors free to watch in 2013. That's right, guys. If you go to www.filmon.com, that's FILMON.com, you could be watching American Horrors for free anytime you want. It's 24 hours. It's 7 days a week. And plus, I've got some new books out. I have a short story in the Masters of Taboo book by Unearthed Press, which is about cannibalism, digesting the human condition. It's a really brutal, brutal book. And Stephen Biro, the editor and publisher, he wanted me to go for it. He wanted me to go for it. So if you want to get a really fucked up horror anthology, go get Masters of Taboo. You can pick it up on Amazon. You can get it for Kindle. And also for the poetry fans out there, people who might not know it, yes, I am a published, accomplished poet. How do you like that sound, Josh?
I'd be more surprised, Hart, if I didn't already know it.
Yeah, right? Isn't that funny?
I've known it for years. You used to put that in the old Boneyard books. You'd have a poem now and then, and I've got your books, so it's not a surprise to me.
That's right, Josh. You got a big box of books there in front of you. You got that for Christmas. What you been reading?
I've been going through the Flowers and the Razor Wire issues.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed them. I also watched the Flowers and the Razor Wire TV pilot, which you can also find at Amazon.com or AmericanHorrors.com.
Yeah, Flowers and the Razor Wire, the DVD pilot, we did that for Japan, and they decided not to pick it up, which is their loss, but it's something that we're still working on. There's the Flowers and the Razor Wire feature film, which you folks can't watch thanks to a blind asshole, you blind puke, you piece of shit, you fucking dildo. Yeah, that's right. I'm not done with you, you blind piece of shit. It was okay to steal from me when my wife was sick in the hospital, but now I'm going to be on you, you cunt. So sooner or later, folks, sooner or later, you're going to see Flowers in the Razor Wire, the TV show. I doubt you will ever see the Flowers in the Razor Wire feature film, unfortunately. But Josh seems to like the pilot. What else you been reading there, Josh?
I've already read it once before. You sent me an early promo copy, but you're an American Horror Story. I enjoyed quite a bit. It pissed me off because when it was done, I said, that's it. Where's the rest of it? There's more to this story. Where's the rest?
Yeah, what you got in your hands is the limited edition collected writings from In Cold Blog. It was a big true crime blog run by Corey Mitchell, who's a really good crime writer. He does a column over on BloodyDisgusting.com and MusicSucks.com, and he's also working on the biography of Phil Anselmo. And he's been working on that with Phil for quite some time. So, Corey, if you're listening, hey, man, hope life is treating you well.
And then we can't forget, we got to tell people that we're kind of just being shillers right now. And your website, they can still find old Boneyard books, right?
Yeah, you know, our store, our online store has been compromised, so I'm working to revamp our online store. If you go to AmericanHorrors.com, you'll notice it hasn't been updated in a year. I've been so swamped and so busy with everything dealing with the television network that there has been absolutely zero fucking time to update the website. So the best way to stay in touch with what we're doing is my Twitter. That's right, guys. I'm coming back to Twitter, and all day long, I have been blazing it up. If you go to twitter.com/Hart_Fisher, you'll find me. And that's twitter.com/HART_FISHER. No one's going to censor me. I don't have to worry about some mommies being offended by my posts in Britain and trying to get my page taken off of Facebook. So I've kind of come back to Twitter because I can attack again. That is the theme for 2013 at American Horrors. We will kill and kill and kill until the blood on our swords is the blood of a king or a knave. I'm in a fighting mood, man. I'm in a fighting fucking mood. I'm so goddamn angry. I got up this morning here and some local neighbor, somebody moved into my neighborhood with a bunch of yappy fucking dogs. And I'm hearing these fuckers yap and yap and yap. I nearly got out of bed in my fucking boxers and went looking for this house to scream at these cocksuckers to shut their fucking dogs up. Jesus Christ, I'm so angry, folks. You need to be tuning in this year. You need to be checking out my Twitter. If you want to see what's up with American Horrors, go to the American Horrors Facebook page. The movies that's playing, you can't always depend on the electronic guide at Filmon. I don't know what the glitch is, but when we update our programming, it knocks off the TV guide for a day, and I don't know why that is. And we program our network. You know, folks, I do this myself. There isn't some other guy who gets paid $3.95 an hour to schedule what's on the network. It's either me scheduling it or my wife, Waka. And that's it. There's nobody else scheduling it. It's us, and we write the descriptions. We have total control over American Horrors. And we're here to entertain you. We're here to have a good time. Like, I've got a new bit of poetry in a book called Men in the Company of Women, a provocative anthology of praise and persuasion. You can find that on Amazon. It's called Men in the Company of Women. It's a great anthology book filled with poetry and short stories. And I've got four unpublished poems for some folks about bringing my poetry, Poems for the Dead and Still Dead, back into print this year. There's talk of new volumes of Poems for the Dead. Whew! And I've been in editing all day long on all the new programming. I have a ton of killer original horror programming at American Horrors. When you go to FearNet and they're like, ooh, it's the new FearNet series. They don't have any original series of FearNet. There's nothing that's company generated on there. Our TV shows at American Horrors, True Crimes, the American Horrors Intermission, the American Horrors TV show, these are original programs developed for our network that are done in-house. We have a series called 813, which is a really great zombie series that's coming back to American Horrors that is done by Tracy King and her sister. We've got so much cool fucking horror coming. I shouldn't even be angry. I shouldn't even be mad, but I'm so angry about what's happening in this country, about what's going on in the school systems. I'm so angry at how we're being gamed over this gun control bullshit. You know, folks, you can't write a law if there's no director of the ATF to enforce the fucking law. And all these assholes talk about new fucking laws. How about you enforce the ones on the books? Simple, right? How about we arrest some of these fucking bankers that are too important to go to jail from the LIBOR scandal or HSBC? How about some of these cocksuckers? I'm so angry about this stuff that I just had to take a break and talk about the good shit that I'm working on and how happy I am to be doing this show with you, Josh, you fucker.
Well, thank you so much for that ringing endorsement.
We're bringing some new sponsors are coming to the show. you haven't heard anything new from SafeSig. Some stuff's been going on over there. They've been a little bit slow on getting their orders out, so I held off on the ad. But a company called Hydra Blue, it's a new kind of water that's really good for you. We've got new products coming to the American Horrors Network, and I'm getting ready to start putting up our shows available for streaming on Amazon. So I've got lots of really great stuff happening. It's just, whew, I'm pretty fucking angry.
The sexiest girls with the sexiest bodies are doing the sexiest things in Let's Make a Dirty Movie. This look at what really goes on behind the scenes of a porno film will have your eyes bulging every second. It's outrageous, unbelievable, shocking, and sometimes even embarrassing, but you'll love it all. Let's Make a Dirty Movie, the sex blockbuster that everyone is talking about, and you will too. Let's Make a Dirty Movie.
You know what? There are some people that might...
Are you a scat man, Josh?
No, I'm not really a scat man. I've never been into that. I've never been into scat. Oh, we're talking about poo. Okay, sorry. No. I don't understand how people get turned on by poo, but I guess, you know, whatever turns you on.
Give them the old Cleveland steamer. No, not for you.
Not for me. The reason that we're talking about this, and Jillian, you know what? By the things that we're about to talk about and the definition that I'll give in a little bit, technically, some people could say this show is obscene.
Verbally, I guess, but it doesn't fall under the laws here. I mean, we're not FCC. That's why we don't air on the actual radio.
Exactly. What we're basically talking about is there are three specific cases out of LA of the Department of Justice's Obscenity Prosecution Task Force formed under George Bush in 2005, basically charging people and sending them to prison for long sentences for the legal definition of obscenity for doing things that are really not obscene. Because first of all, Jillian, what do you consider, and I'm not talking about in a legal sense, what is your personal definition of obscenity if you have one at all?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on the situation, I guess. I mean, certain things I would see in movies I wouldn't consider obscene, but if I saw it in real life, I'd be like, oh, that's wrong type thing. Like, I don't know. I'm not, you know me, I'm not a huge watcher of porn and weird shit like that. I mean, I like my gore in my movies, but I don't want to see entrails in real life.
Well, we're talking about art here, or as the Justice Department would have put it, arguable art.
Well, it just kills me that, you know, the two cases are from LA of all places. No, and I'm not knocking against LA. I just mean that's kind of like a very cornucopia of art and adult entertainment. So it kind of seems odd that these cases are coming out of LA of all places.
Which is, and some of these I think are more of, we're going to make an example out of these people kind of thing. Ira Isaacs is a porn producer. He's currently looking at going to jail for making scat porn. Okay. As well as, and this is the way it's quoted from the Department of Justice, a female engaged in sex acts with animals. Now, okay, to me, that's sick and disgusting. It's not for me, but I do know it's for some people, and it's not obscenity as far as I'm concerned.
Technically, obscenity is really a point of view. I mean, we just talked about homophobia, and people think that's obscene, but it's not. You know what I mean? It's all relative to a point of view. A big majority of right-wing people would think porn itself is obscene. So if you're gonna go to that aspect, I mean, technically, I mean, if you were to whip it out and starts jacking off, you've got indecent exposure and all those other charges that go against it, which, you know, rightfully so. But if you have it on film, that's a different story. There's a lot of people that do consider porn to be obscene, which, of course, a lot that, you know, really get off on it. So if you're going to look, I mean, people have weird fetishes. I mean, you could have a picture of a bruised toe, and I'm sure there's somebody fucking jacking off to it and thinks it's the hottest thing. So I don't understand how you can look at something that's on film. It's not like it was, you know, oh, we're doing this installation art and, like, you know, performance art where somebody's going to, like, jack off on a girl and come in her face or whatever. It's like that I could understand. It's like, okay, there's art, whatever you're trying to say, but no, we can't have that. That I would consider obscene. It's like, you're saying it's art, but no, like, you know, make it into a movie. I guess that would be my definition of going too far. But if you're going to take something that's on film, it's like, really? I mean, I'm sure for every, you know, equal parts, I'm sure for every person that says it's a scene, you could have somebody that says it's not. So it would just completely cancel each other out. So I really don't understand that. And if you're going to look from the excuse of, oh, well, it has to be artistic and whatever other criteria, any form of visual media is technically art. If you've got the inside of a CD cover, somebody made that, that's art. If you've got film, somebody made that, that's somebody's art. Whether you think it's art or whether you like it is one thing. I've seen paintings before where I'm like, really? I don't get it. Like, that's not art to me. Like, I understand it's their art, it's their vision of whatever. It's not my cup of tea. And no, don't go into Two Girls, One Cup. It's all flowing together here. But no, I mean, you guys see what I'm saying. Like, everything is relative. So I was very sheltered in my younger years, back in my day. And I've been corrupted since through people I've met. But I'm not huge on the whole, like, weird fetish shit. And, like, I don't sit and watch porn or anything like that. Like, any porn I have seen, it's been for, like, the hilarious storylines. Like, you know, you've got Alice in Wonderland, things like that. Like, I right. do not watch porn to get off. I don't know. I have a vivid imagination. I think I said that in another episode.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. I don't the whole candles and put something on and be like, that's so hot. It's like, that's nice. I don't know that douchebag that's jerking off onto that girl. Like, I don't. It's like, I look at a lot of these porns and it's like, in some of them, that's fine. Just not my thing. And I don't really get off on it.
Well, let's talk about the legal definition of obscenity. Comes down to a case called Miller versus California, where Chief Justice Warren Burger restated the constitutional definition of obscenity. Quote, the basic guidelines for the tier of fact must be A, whether the average person applying contemporary community standards would find that the work taken as a whole appeals to the prurient interest. B, whether the work depicts or describes in a patently offensive way sexual conduct specifically defined by the applicable state law, and C, whether the work, taken as a whole, lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. And initially, they were going to include a D that was and is with utterly without redeeming social value, but they dropped that. Berger specifically rejected that because, again, redeeming social value is something that is subjective, the same as all these other things. So for something to be declared legally obscene, Jillian, it has to meet all three prongs of the Miller test.
So in layman's term, and to, you know, normal people, you want to break that down for us?
For normal people, it means for the A standard that the work has to be taken as a whole, appealing to the prurient interest. Prurient interest means it turns you on. Basically, if you see something and it makes you want to jack off, you've hit one of the prongs of obscenity.
So all porn in there, pretty much, and weird stuff, you know.
More or less, right.
You're one down on the table, guys.
B, the work being patently offensive and dealing with state laws, that comes down to, that's the part where something may be illegal in Texas and declared and actually fit the B prong of the Miller test in Texas, but it does not in Oklahoma. Or it does in Illinois, but it does not in Wisconsin. So something legally can be obscene in one state, but not the other 49. So
here's the thing, though, with like film, if you're shooting something in LA, like, I mean, we've talked about this before, where in, I don't remember how many states, it's actually legal for somebody to fuck a horse, but they can't, you know, get married to someone that's the same sex. So if you've got horse fucking on video, and it's legal in your state, but it's illegal in another state. Like, I mean, I'm new to this whole, like, you know, scat rules here. Can someone in a different state be like, hey, we're going after this guy? Or do you just ban the video in your state?
You ban the video in your state. This happened a lot in the 80s and 90s when it was mail order. There are certain states that, I mean, like, even if you go and find, I think it's still there today. If you go in, like, to Hustler's website, there are certain states where you cannot get a subscription to Hustler because there are certain states where Hustler is declared legally obscene. So they're like, you know, we will not ship to Arkansas. You cannot get a subscription to an address in Arkansas. So yeah, it's
They should do online subscriptions where, like,
I think they do.
It's digitized, yeah.
I think you can get, like, a PDF version. But then the third prong of the Miller test, and this is where almost every single thing fails to fit the three prongs, and that's good for us, is that the work, and remember, he had the word taken as a whole, so it can't be a single scene is offensive. It has to be the entire work is offensive, that it lacks any literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. Basically, every single piece of art ever made will either have literary potential, artistic potential, political potential, or scientific potential.
But see, that's what I mean. It's like, then nothing should fit into the legally obscene category, because anything created is technically art. If you look at fucking furniture design, I'm sorry, I look at that as art, architecture, art. Like, someone had to design your coffee table, you know, like, especially the ingrained things. And I mean, if you're going to be a smartass and be like, oh, the little plank, like, foldy tables, whatever, it's like, you know what? Somebody designed that. I mean, that's somebody's art. It may have been made by a factory, but it was designed. I mean, how many pieces of furniture and bookshelves do you see that are, you know, have ornate etchings or what have you? So if you look at it that way, it's like, who's to say what somebody's art is? It's like, you can make something that's art to you, and not one fucking person in the world likes it. Like, everybody could be like, that's a piece of shit, that's not art, I don't get it, but it's still your art. And so you're going on people's opinions and judgments to say that's art, that's not art. So okay, you've got what, 12 jurors or what have you that are like, nope, I don't get it. But, you know, it's kind of like, fine, take a fucking survey, put it online for the masses and be like, would you consider this, you know, art, and does it fall into this category? And if you've got people saying, yeah, I see it as art, like, anybody, you know, if you're directing, you're scripting, what have you, I mean, that's art. It may not be good art, but it's art. I mean, I have the biggest problem when somebody looks at anything and says that's not art.
And see, I think that's where Berger was an absolute genius, by making the three-prong test something that almost nothing can fall into. Because, like you just pointed out, anything can be considered art. And so that's why I think it was brilliant how he appeased both sides. Okay, hey guys, we now have a legal definition of obscenity, but almost nothing whatsoever can fall under it.
I would say the only thing that would really fall into that is what I mentioned earlier, where if someone's just got it out and is whipping it out, or if two people are just like having sex in the middle of the street, it's like, really? No, you're just trying to be a smartass. I'm sorry. It's like, you don't fucking have sex in public. There's, you know, that very, very, very thin line. And I'm sure somebody would be like, no, it's a commentary on, you know, the standards of society and nudity, and we shouldn't be ashamed, you know, nudist things like that. It's like, no, there's a difference.
Well, and then the OOPTF has also gone after and convicted Max Hardcore, a porn producer and director who I despise. I think he is everything that is wrong with pornography. But They got him, they sentenced him to jail for 46 months on 5 counts of obscenity. And that, to me, is the true obscenity. That somebody in this country can be found to be making obscene material. Do you know what he got sentenced for? He had videos of women over the age of 18. He had all the paperwork lined up, playing children that were having hardcore sex acts done to them. Okay? That's gross. It's disgusting. It's not criminal.
They have that shit in those, like, barely legal sections, though. I mean, isn't that what the barely legal is, where it's like they're 18, but they look like they're 13 or whatever?
And this is just going on and on. There was another porn producer, who I hope I don't butcher his name too bad, John Stagliano. He is looking at, he hasn't gone to court yet, he is looking at a possible 32 years in jail for two movies, Milk Nymphos and Storm Squirters 2 Target Practice.
Those sound like those old Atari porn games, though.
They actually do.
I could see that, like that one where you're like squirting milk off of your breast and you're like catch it at the bottom.
Yeah, they actually
revenge,
do. Jillian, doesn't isn't it offensive to you that a man is looking at 32 years, almost your entire lifetime? He is looking at going to prison.
Don't call me out on that. Porn. Don't tell people my age.
Oh, you're not one of those girls
that's
sensitive
about age.
Don't make
me older. Are you kidding? I'm having a midlife crisis right now. Don't do that shit to me. Guys, Josh is being mean to me. I'm a lady, damn it. You treat me with fucking respect and shit. I understand if something's made and the masses, for the most part, are like, oh my God, that's fucking wrong, blah, blah, blah. Number one, don't fucking watch it. You know, you can turn it off. If you rent something, you're like, whoa, that's what that is. Turn it off. You don't have to freaking sue somebody or what have you. Secondly, if it's a video, it's clearly not like a doc. You know, it's like nobody was forced to do anything. If it's a video and it's that bad that someone's going to go to fucking jail for 32 years for, it's like, ban the fucking video then or what have you. Like, there's no reason to send somebody to jail. I mean, unless you're making a snuff film or you're actually raping someone on camera, there's no criminal offense. These people are willing. So technically, if you're going to say you made this movie and it's obscene, what about the actors? Not trying to give anybody ideas here, but they were the ones doing the acts. So, you know, like, where does it stop?
And see, oh, I've got a problem with like you brought up, then ban it. I don't think anything should be banned anyway.
Okay,
you
no,
just,
but if
you just cater to the
stop.
Audience that
no,
it's there for.
If you're facing 32 years of jail, I'm just saying an alternative to like, hey, we're going to arrest this guy. It's like, I'm just saying the jail is completely ridiculous to me. It's like, if you're going to go that far to put somebody in jail for 32 years, just ban it. And I'm sorry. I know you're a huge, huge, huge stickler on principles. If someone was like, hey, you're either going to jail for 32 years or we're banning your work, I'd be like, fine, ban it. And I don't know if you would do the same, but I'm just saying, like, from the mentality of these people prosecuting, instead of trying to put these people in jail, all right, fine, you think it breaks the law, okay? This is, you know, legality purposes. If you think it breaks the law, like, and it shouldn't exist or whatever, then just fucking ban it, halt production or what have you. You know, I mean, we do live in the age of the internet as well, where, like, weird shit goes out, and obviously
nothing is truly banned.
Right, so obviously anything that explicit would never completely go away. But to send somebody to jail for any amount of time, let alone 32 years, it's like, really? Like, you know, there's fucking rapists and murderers that get less than 32 fucking years.
And that's the point I want to make is, okay, this is a video. Okay, these are videos. The law doesn't crack down this hard on rapists, on murder. This law...
Molesters, nothing.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Obscenity is not something that is definable, literally or figuratively. There should be nothing that's obscene. Jillian, Hart Fisher has written 4 of the 5 comic books that have ever been declared legally obscene in the United States.
Like, have these people never seen hentai either? I mean, I know it's from Japan, but you know there's stuff that goes around. It's like, that is fucked up. Like, I will say, hentai gets really obscene. It exists, and it's a thing, but it's not like people that are watching it are going to go out and, like, diddle 13-year-old girls. It's just...
Obviously, you and I both think it's bullshit that this obscenity task force even exists, let alone is going after pornography instead of, say, heroin shippers or things like that. My final thought on this is nothing should ever be obscene. If you don't like it, don't watch it. You don't want your kid to see it, don't let your kid to
see
it.
Well, in video aspects, I thought you were going as like nothing ever, and I
don't think, and no, you're right. I don't think anything should be obscene. I don't
really. I don't want to see some guy jacking off on the street corner. I'm sorry, that's obscene.
But that's not obscenity in the. We're talking art obscenity. I'm talking the obscenity of art.
Well then.
Okay. Okay. I should have defined better. Nothing artistic, printed, drawn, viewed, recorded should ever be obscene. Never.
I would say the only thing is if like you're videoing, you know, a snuff film or a rape or just something that is an illegal act.
Thank you. Yes.
And it's like, yeah,
if you're committing an illegal act anyway.
Well, no, because that runs into it. Like, some of those people are like, well, I didn't do it. I just, you know, videotaped it. It's like, well, no, you're still
an accessory to it.
You're still fucked. So in that aspect, if you are party to something that is a crime, yeah, you should get in trouble for it. Anything that's legal consenting people, what have you, you shouldn't get in trouble.
So, Jillian, our feelings are very well known. We're running out of time, though, so where can people find Jillian if they wish to?
I am on Facebook, Twitter as The Mistress J, and you can find me here and there on thecinemasnob.com and geekjuicemedia.com.
You can find me at the same geekjuicemedia.com. My website should be back very shortly, which would be 1201beyond.com when that comes back.
It's not coming back. It's obscene.
Well, I'm not arguing with you there.
You're obscene. I'm going to take all your pictures.
You know what? You do that, too. But
you're so offensive. Oh, I got some Photoshop ideas now.
You can find me at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Good night.
Bye.